The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Even if we don't feel like it, we're going to do it anyway. We didn't say we had to be happy, we just had to rejoice. There's a big difference. Amen. Amen. Well, Christmas is a coming. It's sneaking up on us. So if my calculations are correct, next Sunday is the Sunday before Christmas, is it not? Yeah. So we're going to have a everybody wear your red and green and your
sparkles.
Oh, I used to have a great idea. The ladies could all wear red and green makeup.
Okay. Oh,
look like the Grinch that stole Christmas. Well, anyway, we're glad that you're here today. Those who are watching on Facebook and on the internet, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We are going to worship the Lord together. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, we come to you. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. You are our Lord, our God. In you and you alone, we place our trust and our hope for today, for tomorrow, and for every day. And Lord, though the world may be going crazy, you're not going crazy. You're the only stable platform in the whole universe.
That's right.
And Father, we lean upon you. For you are never moving and never changing. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And with that thought in mind, we want to worship you and praise you and thank you for all you do in our lives. Thank you for helping us to get through the craziness of this world and all the things that try to upset our little boats as we float around. But we trust in you with all of our hearts. We do not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways we acknowledge you. And your word says that you direct our path. So with that thought in mind, we want to worship you this wonderful day. In Christ's name, amen and amen. All right, worship team.
For I am with you, fear not. For I was
reading some notes from an old sermon from years ago. It was Joseph Garlington, and he was saying how amazing that God can be in every moment, in everywhere, all at once. You know, he can be with Grace and David in Africa and leading and guiding and directing them and protecting them, and be here with us and be with you when you go through the thing you had done to your back, Bobby. And, you know, right there, he's there everywhere. And he said that, you know, all the point of his whole sermon was God is big. So I like that, because I can grab a hold of that during the week and remind myself, no matter what we're going through, that God is big and he's everywhere all at once. He's in your home. He's in your heart. So anyway, be encouraged today, y'all. We're going to sing about Adonai. He is Adonai.
Lord, over all the earth.
Yes, he is. The Lord of all the earth.
Yes,
bro, in Hebrew, Baruch Ata Hashem Adonai. Blessed is the name of the Lord my God. Hallelujah.
Great I am.
the scripture that I want Miss Pat to read right now. Do y'all have a mic for her, or do you want to just come use my mic?
Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son has been given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government shall be, and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Praise God.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus, for coming. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And Mary was the only one who knew. Everybody else had to believe what they didn't see. Scriptures say that Jesus is the image, exact image of the invisible God. He is the creator of all things. He created everything that's on the earth, everything that's in the heavens, visible and invisible. Created powers and rulers and authorities, and all things exist and consist in Him. So He's more than a baby. We celebrate His birth, but you know, it's fun for us to celebrate your birthdays, and Rose's birthday is next week, right? Is your birthday next week? Yeah?
Thursday.
And Thursday. And I'd rather celebrate the Roe Dietrich I know. You know, little babies just a lot of trouble. A lot of work. But I like the road that God gave us today. The same way with Jesus. It's wonderful that He was born a baby, but I'm glad He grew up and did the work that God called Him to do and sent Him here to do. So, Father, we thank You in the precious name of Jesus for Your Son, Jesus. We're so thankful that You so loved us that You gave Your only begotten Son, that whosoever, and that be us, believeth in Him, would not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank You that the Christ child came to save us. Thank You that He came to save even Mary. As that song says, did you know that the baby that you deliver would one day deliver you? Oh, hallelujah. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is that He is, that You are our deliverer, Lord. And we bless You and we praise You. And Lord, there are things on this earth that confuse us and make us scratch our heads. But the one thing we know, never changing God, still the Christ child, born in Bethlehem, as was prophesied it would be. And that child is our Savior and our deliverer. And we thank You, Lord. You're also our healer, Lord. As I think of that, I want to pray for Joe Basher, Lord. He was in the hospital, had a fall, and we don't know what's going on with him, but we know that You are the healer. Lord, I know COVID keeps us out of the hospital, but it doesn't keep You out of the hospital. So, Lord, we ask You to go to Joe in that bed and touch him, heal him, make him 100% whole, return the strength to his legs, that he can be about Your business, serving You, Father. And I ask You to be with his wife and to encourage her. And even Miss Rose, Lord, and that You would build them up on their faith, trusting in You and You alone, our healer. Lord, pray for David, Lord, my brother-in-law, that You would heal him of this cancer that's got a hold of him. Father, You can deliver. You are the You created all things, and Father, You can cause this cancer to be removed from David's body. And the same for Bob Riles and Denise Riles and Annie Riles. You can deliver all of them. Father, we pray for Miss Beverly, that You give her strength. Lord, that she get back in church. I know she wants to be with us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You that Miss Gail's here, Lord, that You give her the strength to come back to church, Lord, and so she can be with us in sweet, sweet fellowship. Lord, all those who are sick and need Your touch, I ask You to reach out to them. Those who are watching over Facebook or on the internet, wherever they may be, maybe a delayed broadcast, but many, many sicknesses in our world, but You are the great deliverer. I ask You to heal them all. And this is our prayer in the wonderful name of Jesus. And all the children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christmas is such a wonderful time of the year. I was musing over that as I was driving here this morning. And I don't remember in my entire life not having a Christmas to celebrate. You know, and I know we all have sweet memories of things that we experience. I can still see going over to my uncle and my aunt. they sort of adopted me. They didn't have any children, so they, I was kind of their adopted child in many ways. And he loved to do Christmas decorations. His house was, and his, I mean, it was just amazing all the work that they would do to decorate their home. There were always presents under the tree for me. Most of them were for me. And they started the family tradition. I believe they're the ones who started it. My mother picked it up, and we did it for many years. Many of you don't know about this tradition. It's kind of a deep secret that only a few know about. That at the crib where Jesus was laid, then we know that there were little donkeys and, you know, other little farm animals. But did you know that there were turkeys there? See, you didn't know that, did you? But under my Uncle Charlie's tree and under my mother's tree and under our tree, we had little turkeys that were there. I have no idea how that came about, but it's part of my tradition where it came from. And I don't think anybody ate them, you know, so that's the joy of it. So Christmas is a time of year that for many people is very depressing. You know, they just can't cope with all the things that happen at Christmas. Christmas gets to be busyness. People get overrun with busyness. And I guess maybe in my lifetime, this Christmas is probably going to be one of the more memorable ones because we're getting ready through this Christmas season to close out 2020. And everybody said, amen. I'm ready for 2020 to go. But we can't let all COVID and elections and all the things that happen rob us of the joy of Christmas. It's a time to be joyful and to be peaceful. So we can choose Christmas at times like this. I think we miss how terrible things were when Jesus was born. We see the baby in the manger and the starry nights and the silent night and the wise men, and we see all those things. But it was a terrible time. People were in abject poverty. They were controlled by the brutal Roman Empire. There was religiosity everywhere and very little worship of God. Heathens were a dime a dozen everywhere. People were hopeless. They were looking for something. The scripture we just read, and we're going to read it again from Isaiah, saying that there was a day that somebody would come and bring hope. And that's what Israel was looking for, a day of deliverance, a day of hope, a day of reestablishing their independence as a nation, to bring back life as it was under King David. That's what they were looking for. But it wasn't there. And the promise came in the form of a baby. And it brought, from that day to this day, it's changed the world. And I think we need to focus on that, you know, and turn our eyes upon that so that we can remember that. This is a little different version. This is a New Living Translation. I kind of like it because of the way it says it. For a child is born for us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love that. You know, he is passionately committed to you. Maybe as never before in America, we need to focus on the Christ child and Christmas. Maybe we need to replace the Christmas lights with the Star of Bethlehem.
Amen.
You know, I don't have it to show you. If I'd have thought about it, I would have showed you. My daughter's house down in Florida is not too far away from where they shoot the rockets into space. And at night, when they do a launch, you can many times see the flames of the booster rocket. Well, Tiffany's house is, for Christmas, the whole front of it is illuminated and it's very, very bright. There was a launch, and they had gone outside to see the launch, and she took a picture. Over her house is this bright, bright light, which is a flame of a rocket. But I'm telling you, it looks like Bethlehem and the Star of David on top of it. And it just, I didn't think about it. I would have brought it for you and let you see it. But that star is still in the skies. You know, the weight of Christ is still there. And it's in churches throughout the world as we talk about this wonderful thing, this birth of this baby. Jim got a video for us that I want you to see, and he's going to narrate it for us. So Jim, if you're ready, why don't you show that video? I think it really depicts where we are today.
In a dark time, the light came. Through political turmoil, religious unrest, violence and confusion, a world lost, a world not so different from today. A baby was born. Promised Messiah, Christ the King, the light of the world. God of hope, author of faith, our exceeding joy, Prince of Peace. And Jesus is still the light of the world. The people living in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of the death, a light has dawned. Matthew 4:16.
Amen. Jesus is the light. Now the Word came into the world, and it says that in him was life, and that life was the light of man. He lit up the world. I think it's appropriate that we put up Christmas lights because he is the light. He has brought light into this dark place. Isaiah promised that a child king would be born, that he would be born. We don't think in terms of kings as babies. We think of them as in their royal robes and their thrones and their scepters and their power and their might. And it said that this child would give us a reason to rejoice. And here's my question today. Are you rejoicing? Yes. Or are you rejoicing? Yes. We need to be. When Pat and I are in another life, we're involved in selling cosmetic franchises. It's a long story. We were being trained by a really great sales trainer, and he was talking about in order for us to sell what we were trying to sell, that you have to be enthusiastic about it. You know, so you've got to be happy about it. You've got to be joyful about it. And we were in a classroom with probably 30 other people, and he was saying, he started a little thing. He said, to be enthusiastic, you need to act enthusiastic. So to be enthusiastic, you need to act enthusiastic. He said, go ahead and say it. To be enthusiastic, you need to act enthusiastic. Well, we all started saying it, and he jumped up on a chair, and people started running around the room, and everybody got all enthusiastic about a cosmetic franchise that we could sell. But you know, the truth is, sometimes you got to get yourself to be enthusiastic about the Christ child and Christmas, and either push yourself. It's so easy to fall into this trap of concern and worry. Who's going to be our president? What's going to happen to America? Will we be turned into a communist satellite of Moscow? Or are we going to have an economy like they have down in Venezuela? You know, what's going to happen to our children and our grandchildren? Pastor, people ask me this all the time, what is going to happen? And the answer is, I don't know. But I know this, the Christ child has still been born. And there's a reason to rejoice. No matter what the circumstances of this earth may bring, we look to him. He said he would bring peace to the world. Here's a question you need to ask yourself. Do you have peace? If you don't have peace today, then you need to get some peace. And the only place I know to get peace is at Jesus Christ. Go to his house and knock on the door. My daddy, God rest his soul, my dad was never a crier. I mean, most of you had never met my dad, but he's a little short Italian guy. He's rough as a cob. He worked with his hands. He was a factory guy, blue collar, fourth grade education. But he got gloriously saved, and his life just changed. And one day he was talking to me, big old tears coming out of his eyes, which I don't remember ever seeing him cry. And he said, Morris, if you didn't get anything but peace from being saved, it would be enough. Amen. It would be enough. When he was very, very sick in his old age, and he was in Oshkosh Hospital, they had just done a surgery on his heart. He was 84 or 5 years old. They had more tubes in him than you could find at a tube shop. I mean, they were canisters of stuff they were pumping into him. And Pat and I were in the room with him. It was an ICU room. And he couldn't communicate with us. And it was dark. It was that night. And Pat and I were sitting there. And my dad started saying something. So we went to see what he was saying. And with all those things in his arms, he had both his hands raised and started praising the Lord and praying for the people in the hospital. He couldn't communicate with me, but he had something going for him. What was it? It was the Prince of Peace. In the midst of that turmoil, he found peace as the Holy Spirit moved through him. So be joyful. Seek peace. Said that this child would rule forever. The question is, do you see him ruling? Or do you see Donald Trump, or God forbid me, Joe Biden? I hate to be that transparent, but I am. Or do you see the Christ child ruling? Do you see God ruling? Beloved, if Jesus isn't ruling over the affairs of man, we need to hang up our spurs, pray for God to kill us, and take us out of here. I mean, just forget church, forget your Bible, forget everything. If you can't see the power of God in the midst of turmoil, then you need to change your vision. You need to look with different eyes. We can't see the invisible, but we can see Jesus, and he is the image of the invisible God. So we look to him, we look to the cross, we spend time in the Word, we pray, we admit our fears to him, and he will take away our fears and give us peace. And he will rule forever. It doesn't matter who gets elected as far as the kingdom is concerned. Jesus will still be King of Kings. Whether whoever the President of the United States is, or if there is no United States, he will still be the king. Rome, the greatest powerful nation, probably other than the United States ever to exist, is nowhere to be found today. You can find remnants. If you go to Israel, you can see remnants. You can travel all over Europe and you can see remnants of what was. But Rome is gone. The power of Caesar has disappeared. But Jesus is still king. Jesus is still on the throne. His power hasn't diminished. His peace has not waned. His joy has not disappeared. And beloved, I say to myself and to you and all of us, at this Christmas time, it's time to ratchet our brain back where it needs to be, in line with our faith in who God is. This child would be incarnate. It'd be God incarnate. It'd be God himself. And do you see God at Christmas time? Or do you see presents and busyness and a few songs that we dub as Christmas songs? We don't need another redundant happy holiday. But what we desperately need is a holy day. It's a day that's set apart. Holy means to set something apart. We need to set aside ourselves and our families and focus on God and not all the frivolity that we see running all around us. It's okay to have a Christmas tree. It's okay to sing Christmas songs. It's okay to give presents. Those things are good. I'm not opposed to those things. But the focus of our lives needs to be Christ. You see, on December the 26th, Christmas will be gone for another year. But Jesus will still be here. The Christ child will still be here. So this is a mindset. I tell you this all the time. We need to change the way that we think. Because if we change the way we think, we'll change what we believe. If we change what we believe, we'll change the way we act. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe? I'm not talking about phony baloney stuff. I'm talking about the real thing. Deep inside, do you believe it?
Yes.
The scriptures say that without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. For those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you can't see him, start seeking him. Be like the deer at the water brook that David wrote about in the Psalms. He said, as the deer pants after the water brook, so my soul longs after thee. Are you longing for the Lord? Is that where your focus is? Or is your focus on Newsmax? Fox, Facebook, comments from the world, fake news? Is that where your focus is? If it is, you won't find any peace. The only place to find peace is in Jesus Christ, in him alone. Look, what I'm telling you, I'm telling me. Because we've been wrapped up in this whirlwind of things going on in our world. The election was fixed. Georgia's got an election. We need these two senators to keep the United States Senate in Republican hands and bring some sense of civility to our world. Beloved, listen to me. Don't get mad with me. Listen to me. In the great scheme of eternity, it just doesn't matter. In fact, historically, the greatest moves of God have occurred in the midst of turmoil. Yes. 9/11 showed up, as you all know, some 19 years ago now, I guess it is, if my math is right. You could hardly find a seat in a church, including ours. People showed up from everywhere. People had many church forever, started showing up. And they stayed for a good 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. And then he went right back where they came from. See, they got scared and they came, but not all of them left. Some of them stayed. And it's okay to run to Jesus in the midst of a turmoil. And if you feel like you're living in turmoil, if you feel that your heart is racing like crazy, if you feel your blood pressure's up, if you feel you can't think clearly, good. You're a perfect candidate for the peace of God.
Amen.
And you won't know real peace until you know turmoil.
Yeah, that's right.
It's in the midst of turmoil that you find peace. That's how I found it. Me and my cosmetic business, and I'm not going through my testimony this morning, all the things that Pat and I were doing were not giving any peace. But on August 7th, 1972, in my turmoil, I cried, literally cried out to God. I was like my dad, I wasn't a crier. On August the 8th, the Christ child visited me in the form of a 300-pound preacher evangelist who asked me if I was to die, would I go to heaven or hell? And my answer was, if there is a heaven and a hell, I would go to hell. It wasn't 30 minutes later that I was in the kingdom and got the peace of God. Suddenly, all my problems disappeared. They were still there, but they disappeared because they no longer held the primary position in my life. The primary position in my life was then Christ. Christ. I was forgiven. I finally had what I'd always been looking for, peace. I finally had a sense of well-being that I could never find. All the thirst that I had for this world suddenly was on the back burner somewhere. And my thirst was for the Word of God. I had never read the Bible before. And Jim Hickman gave me a Good News for Modern Man, a little New Testament. And I started reading it. And every word became an elixir of life from heaven itself that quenched my thirst, energized me with real enthuse. It means in theo is his word for God, in God. And I was wrapped up from that day to this day in God and what he does. And I have peace. Do I worry? Sure. Do I get upset? Yes. Do I have opinions? Yes, I do. But I have to yank myself by the chain and pull myself back to who I really am. Everyone in this room, everyone listening to me, whether you're on Facebook or you're on the internet, wherever you may be, everyone will die. The question is, will you die with peace or will you die with fear? We just sang that song, Fear Not, for I am with you. Worrying about this world will bring you fear, bring you discomfort. It'll take your sense of well-being away from you. That's why we need to focus on the Christ child this year. We can't make government or retail establishments or anybody else recognize Christmas as a holy day. It's not a holy day, it's a holiday. Just look around, that's what it's called. Mr. Christmas Holidays. Like you, I get upset when I go someplace, somebody says, have a happy holiday. I say, well, I am going to have a happy holiday, but I'm going to have a holy day too.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm not interested in a Merry Christmas, I'm interested in a Holy Christmas.
That's good.
Merriment comes and goes. Yeah. Holiness stays forever.
Yeah.
In the midst of this turmoil, let me take you out of here for a minute. I want to take you back just a mere 75, 80 years ago. I want to move you to Europe. I want you to be there when the German armies were plowing through and killing people by the hundreds of thousands. It's estimated some 60 to 70 million people died in World War II. The image of the trauma of you losing your house, losing your family, being drug off the concentration camps, through the hell people went through. But do you know that in the midst of all of that, God was still there? You say, well, I don't see him. Oh, he was there. He was working. I told you the story, and I'm going to repeat it again tonight. If you haven't read the book Dietrich Bonhoeffer by Eric Metaxas, you need to read that book. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read, because it talks about that time. And there was a Lutheran minister who refused to follow the edicts of Adolf Hitler. He made a decision not to do that. Well, they drug him into the police department where the Gestapo was. They beat him unmercifully. They tortured him to try to get him to change his mind. And he wouldn't change his mind about what he was willing to. They wanted to ostracize the Jews from everything, and he refused to do it. He was a church leader, and they threw him in a cell. This is a true story. This is not fictional. Another Lutheran minister was walking through the jail cell and saw this guy beaten to a pulp in there, and he said, "My God, man, what are you doing in there?" And his response echoes in my heart to this day. It's the first time I learned about it. He said, "The question is not what am I doing here. The question is, why aren't you in here with me?" See, in the midst of hardships, Christ is still alive. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, notably one of the greatest theologians and Christians ever to live, died in a wire noose in a German prison for his faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm affected by what happened to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and you're affected by what happened to Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but it was in the middle of great turmoil. So yes, there are hard times, and things may get a lot worse here in America than they are today, but the God that we have our faith in has not changed. He has not moved off to the other side of the universe. He has not forgotten our plight. He knows us. He loves us, and he cares about us. And it's not about whether we're Democrat, Republican, whether we voted for Biden or Trump or whoever gets elected. It's about the election of you by Jesus Christ, who chose you and changed you and forgave you to serve him in this world.
Amen.
So it's our job to bring encouragement and hope. Yes, we can talk about political things. That's okay. I don't mind doing it. But it can't control who we are and what we do. And we can do this at Christmas. We can choose it. It's a choice that we get to make. We can make this holiday a holy day for us. This can be the greatest Christmas you ever had if you want it to be. In the midst of the uncertainty and the wondering whether votes will get counted or not counted, or whether, you know, all the things that bother us, It won't matter, because our faith is in the Lord. Holy Christmas. That was just the introduction to the sermon. I didn't plan on saying all that, but I guess I was needed to. By the way, don't let that fool you. That is my son-in-law and my grandbaby. That picture. So how do you choose to have a Holy Christmas? You choose to emphasize seeking God. Matthew 2, 1 and 2, NIV. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, during the time of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying anything bad about Joe Biden. I don't even know the man. He might be the greatest guy on the planet. I don't know. But I want you to get the picture of this. During a hard time, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one?" I'll put that in a different color for you to highlight it for you. "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Those Magi are certainly some of the wisest people in the Bible. They went looking. They made a long trip. You know, I can jump in my car and make a 600-mile trip in about 10 hours to stop to eat, you know, and drive pretty close to the speed limit. It takes about 10 hours. These guys don't calculate how fast I drive. These guys came, we don't know for sure, but somewhere between 800 and 1,000 miles on a camel and on foot. I mean, they made a trek. I mean, it was hard, and they decided to get. And when they got there, they certainly didn't wait for some government agency to give them permission to go. they went. And we don't know how many of them there were. It was probably a lot. You wouldn't travel with just three people during that time. It was dangerous. There weren't any police on every corner to watch over you. It was dangerous. There were robbers and people that would hurt you. So it probably was a pretty big group that went. And they asked a question that every one of us needs to ask. Where's the one? Where is the one today in your life? Not in Bethlehem, but where is he in your life today? Is he at the forefront of your thoughts and your mind during this time of year? You know, it needs to be. Elijah was a man who had run in with government. And he didn't like them, and they didn't like him. And the boy, I tell you, they were after him. There was this woman who rose up.
Jezebel.
I was going to say Camel Harris, but I just want to put it in focus for you, all right? You know, I'm not picking on these folks, but I know most of you are listening to me, and most of you in here, I know your political bent. You know, it's the worst nightmare. Jezebel's there. So what did this man of God do? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 and 10. Then he went into a cave and spent the night. Are you running to a cave? Are you hiding out somewhere? Scared? And the word of the Lord came to him. I love this. What are you doing here, Elijah? Maybe that question could be yours. What are you doing here? He replied, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. He said, I've been doing all the right stuff. I've been praying. I've been, you know, seeking you. I've been serving you. I've been your spokesman. God, I've done it all. Put a gold star next to my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been doing it all. And the Republicans have rejected me. Your covenant. The Democrats have torn down your altars and put your people, me, you know, a right-wing, radical, fanatical for Jesus. They're putting us to death with the sword. And I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me too. Does any of that sound familiar? I've had conversations with people. That's what they're telling me, basically. Well, I've done everything. The latest thing I heard recently was, well, I've done everything. I'm not going to pray anymore because God doesn't answer prayers.
Oh, that's the worst.
I'm not making this up. It's telling you the truth. Well, God may not answer prayers the way we want them answered, but that doesn't mean God doesn't answer our prayers. We've been praying here on Wednesday night. Those of us who have been here, and there ought to be more, but they're not for whatever reason. But those who are here, we had a great prayer meeting this past Wednesday. Everyone's been great. And we lay our petitions before the Lord. Now, there's a difference between theology and reality. Okay? I pray for what I want. Theology is God's will be done. And sometimes that gets to be, well, don't need to pray. God's going to do whatever he wants to do anyway. What part do we have in all of that? Well, I suggest that you take that question and you go to God and you ask him to answer it. And you know what he'll tell you? Pray. Even the disciples figured that out. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus prayed. If prayer doesn't do any good, if God can't get things done and answer our prayers, what's the point? We're told to pray. We're to be a praying people. And we bring our petitions before the Lord. And we trust him when we pray. We can ask for the desires of our hearts. That's okay. With the theology in the back of our mind, well, God's going to get his will done anyway. Let me ask you a question. What is better for you? For me, my will or God's will? That's a rhetorical question. It's got the obvious answer. God's will is God. Even Jesus got there. Remember that story? Father, would you take this away? Would you not let me have to go through what I'm going through? I don't want to do this. Is there another way? And he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. So, if God wants to do it a different way, I am convinced that God will take care of us through that. If Jesus had not been obedient to his Father and done what his Father asked him to do, he wouldn't have went to the cross. If he wouldn't have gone to the cross and died, you would still be in your sins. Hopeless. It would look like the worst day of the world. That song we just sang, wrong? That beautiful little song, Mary, did you know that you kissed the face of God? Well, I wonder how happy she was the day she saw him eyeball to eyeball on that cross, stripped naked and beaten. That doesn't look like a happy day, does it? You think Mary was happy? I don't think she was happy. And she was broken. I think what was prophesied to her is it was pierced through her very heart. It was pierced. See his son going through all that. But Mary knew in whom she trusted. She knew that this man on that cross that had been birthed through her was this promise of God for a new way of living. A king that wouldn't desert us. A king that would take care of us. A king that would be everlasting. She knew. And in her trauma, her faith stayed. And that's the message for us today at Christmas time. No matter how bad it gets, we still trust in God. All Isaiah wanted was to die. He said things weren't going as well as he had thought they would, and he hoped they would. You may hear today that the last appeal to the United States Supreme Court for Donald Trump to get elected is over. You might hear it today. And maybe you won't, but maybe you will. So what are you going to do, one way or the other? Remember our three friends we love to talk about, the Hebrew children? No, I love it, because they said it's really appropriate for us today. We believe that God will deliver us out of this crucible of fire. That's what we believe. That's what we want. But if he doesn't, we still won't bow down and worship your stupid golden image. Amen. And neither will you, and neither will I. It doesn't matter who gets elected president of the United States in the scheme of the kingdom of God, because we're still saved, still washed by the blood of the Lamb, still redeemed, still on our way to heaven, names still in the Lamb's book of life, and we still got a job to do right here. You'll be able to find a lot of broken people who've been trusting in government that you can bring to them the hope of the one who has a government that will never fail. And you can bring words of hope. And that's what I intend to do, one way or the other. I'm just going to keep doing what I've been doing and sharing the word of God and living for God. God asked him a question, what are you doing here? And I ask the same question. If you're worried and depressed and, you know, got the can't help it and cement in your deodorant jar and, you know, life is miserable, you know, if that's where you are, what are you doing there? Get in the jail cell with that Lutheran preacher. Stand up for your faith. Stand up for Christ. Not everybody's going to like your response, but if they get hurting bad enough, maybe you'll lead somebody to the Lord. Who needs to know the Lord? Finding the one means leaving the status quo behind. Not to follow the crowd, but to follow him. I've decided to follow Jesus, so none go with me, shall I will follow. You know, the world behind me, the Democrats, the Republicans, the Supreme Court, all of that behind me, the cross before me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. I recommend that song to you. That's the day I surrendered to the Lord on that little song. So how do you choose to have a Holy Christmas? I love that grandbaby. She's growing up. You choose to abandon earthly for eternal. Luke chapter 2, 16 through 18. We've been back to the shepherds. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Everyone else will be spending time this Christmas worried about things that won't last. But the shepherds were doing what they always did. They were living their life. They were taking care of the sheep, kind of ho-hum. And they had a choice to make. When that message came, this was the choice that they had to make. It's a choice that you have to make, choice that I have to make. Will we keep watching their sheep? Will we keep life as normal? Just, you know, waiting for the next news cycle? Waiting for the next thing to go wrong? Waiting for the other shoe to drop? Or will you seek what the Magi saw? Where's the one? I don't know about you, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I know you agree with me. I know you will. I know I'm preaching to the choir. Because that's who you are. That's the kind of people you are. So you're here in church. I was traveling to church, and there's a bunch of people. They must be doing one of those cross-country races from Cross Gates Gym. People running down the streets on Cross Gates Boulevard. And I thought, you know, that's great that you're getting themselves in shape. But what are they doing running on Sunday morning? How come they're not in church? You know? So, but you're not out running this morning. You're here in church. You're watching on the internet. At least you're watching. At least you're looking. You're seeking. You're searching. So that's good. You're a good person. That's good. We need to stay the course. Stay the course. It'll cost you something to have Holy Christmas. It really will. Because you're going to have to think differently and do something different. Those men, and there may have been some women in there, I'm not real sure, those shepherds left and went. And boy, did they get a wonderful gift. They got to see what nobody else will see. See, if you, this Christmas, if you decide to seek God, you will see things others won't see. You will hear things others won't hear. You will enjoy. Go back 2,000 years. Be one of those shepherds. How different do you think their lives were after that? Oh, how many times do you think they told that story till their dying day? How many of their children, their children, their children, their children heard that story? Well, Grandpa told me this the day the angel came and told them to go, and they left the sheep up there on the hill by themselves, and they went down and they saw the Christ child. Man, that's where I want to be. I want to be down at the place where Jesus is. See if there's any turkeys there. You know, I want to be there. I want the aroma of it all, the fragrance of it all, the sights of it all, the sounds of it all. I want to hear things of the kingdom of God. We live in two universes. This physical universe, but we live in a spiritual universe. We live in the kingdom of God. John the Baptizer and Jesus said the same thing. The kingdom of God is at hand. And when Jesus came up out of that grave, the kingdom of God was birthed on earth. It always existed, but it was birthed on earth. And you and I walk in that heavenly realm, in that kingdom. We serve the king that'll never die. We serve the king that nobody elected him.
Amen.
All right?
That's right.
We didn't get to vote on him. He voted on himself.
Amen.
And he rules and reigns over you and I today. And nothing in heaven and hell can unseat him from his throne. And because we are his subject and his children, nothing in heaven and hell can remove us out of the kingdom. Because we belong to him. And if anybody messes with you, they're messing with the king. I don't think I want to do that. I don't think anybody ought to do that. The king watches over us. I was telling somebody this story. I don't know whether I told it to you or somebody else. I can't remember who it was. I'm a pretty quiet individual. And only once that I can remember that I ever threw anybody out of my house. And I threw this guy out of my house because he sat in my house across from my desk. And he told me, he disagreed with something I was doing. He said, "Your problem is, Morris, you don't have any commitment to God."
What?
I do have a temper. It can be wild. You can get me riled. And I said, "You might question what I do, and you can question my opinions, but you can't question my faith in God. That's off limits to you." And I drove him out of the house, made him leave. I didn't have any gun. I would have shot him if I thought about sending him to heaven or hell, wherever he's going. You know, but the truth is, we need to have that kind of commitment that we know that we are serving the king. And nothing's going to interfere with that. And we need to spread the words, just like the shepherds did. They told everybody and they wouldn't shut them. Can you imagine one of the shepherds comes back? And you didn't go. And he comes back and says, "Oh, man, you should have seen what I saw. We saw this little baby. Man, he looked like he was glowing. Oh, and it was this lady, nicest lady. Mary was her name, her husband, Joseph. He was there, and man, it was there was just something going on." And you say, "You're eating too much pizza. That's not true, you know. Man, you'd get slugged if you said that." Said, "I'll show you what much pizza I was eating." But if you don't go, you won't see. If you don't make a commitment to go, if you don't search, if you don't do that, you won't see it. It's there, but you just won't see it. There were a lot of people in the world that day when Jesus was born. Only a handful saw him. Only a handful. A lot of people don't see God. I was talking to a minister this week. I had some coffee with him. And he was telling about a church that he was associate pastor with. He said, there was no sign of God anywhere in this church. So the people were nice, but there was no spiritual thing. He said, I went there looking to help Bill. He's a minister, an ordained minister, to Bill. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but the point was that he was looking for the real thing, and he realized that wasn't it. And he had to abandon out of there and leave there and go to another place. Not everything that people say on Christmas is true. A lot of it's just holiday season. But what we're looking for is the real thing, the Christ child. So, all right. So how do you choose to have a holy Christmas? You choose to arrange worship of God during the hectic holidays. Luke 2:20. The shepherds returned. It was the Roe and Becky and Evans band glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen were just as they had been told. You couldn't have held those guys down with a 1,000-pound anchor. I mean, they were helium balloons pumped. Amen. Once you've tasted and touched the things of the kingdom, nothing will satisfy your soul but that drink and that manna from heaven. That eating of the things of the kingdom, drinking of the things of the kingdom, being in the presence of God, having him with you, knowing you, watching over you, that experience of fellowship. Once you've done it, nothing else will satisfy you. You may wander away from it for a little while, but the bells of the sound of the kingdom will call you back and call you back and call you back. Your Christmas will be as holy as you arrange for it to be. Highlight His presence in your life and in the Christmas season. Highlight it. Speak about it. Talk about it. Tell others about it. Be like the shepherds. Man, this is a great Christmas. This is the best Christmas I ever had. I know the world's going gaga, but man, I've been searching for God. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've been trying to tell other folks about it. And man, it's turned out to be the best Christmas I ever had. Highlight the things, His gift of life, and not the merriment of the season. I'm telling you, on December 26th, Christmas is shut down. You can buy everything on sale. The lights are put, you want lights for your house? Wait till December 26th. You can buy all of them you want at about a third of the price. Because Christmas is over for the world. But not for you. Not for me. We're still going to serve the Lord. We're going to worship Him on the 26th like we did on the 24th.
Amen.
And on the 25th and everything in between. Highlight His coming into the world. Not the world celebration, but the kingdom celebration. I don't know if you can do this, but I'm 100%. Imagine you were an angel in heaven. And you've been up in heaven for all eternity. And you've been in with the Godhead. You've seen God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you saw Him, Jesus, leave. Become a baby. And you're looking over the portals of heaven. Gabriel? Why, Michael? You think this is such a good idea? Hey, listen. Father said it's okay. It's okay. Doesn't look too good to me. I'm telling you, man. I'm getting my sword and sharpening it up. I think we're going to have to do some fighting to get this done. How would you have felt if you would have been up in heaven and saw it? In fact, it says that Jesus could have called for 10,000 angels.
That's right.
But He submitted Himself to the Roman cross. Why? Why would He do such a dumb thing? I'm telling you, it's dumb. I'll tell you why. Scriptures tell us why. It said, for the joy set before Him. What is that joy that was set before Him that caused Him to despise His shame and endure the cross? You. You are the joy. You are the reason for the season. You are the reason that God laid down all of His glory, took upon Himself human flesh, submitted to Mary His mother and Joseph His dad, and submitted Himself to them, ultimately submitted Himself to a Roman governor, submitted Himself to a heathen nation, submitted Himself to the cross, submitted Himself to the graveyard. And He did it all for you. Because He gave Him great joy. He takes great joy out of knowing you. This is just my imagination, all right? But I think Jesus loves to do this Himself. I think He's got a perfect pen that writes in perfect letters. And I think He has a Holy Ghost dance when He writes another name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Oh, hey, Gabriel, Michael, come see this. There's a new name written down in glory.
Amen.
And it's mine. Oh, it's mine. I believe God gets great joy. Forgive me, that may not be theologically in your belly weight, but it's in mine. I love the thought of it all. Great joy. You can put the brakes on this hectic day. Don't let the need to shop and blow more money than you should rob you of the joy of the Christmas season. Don't let the need to rush to every party and everything that's going on rob you of the time of this Christmas. Don't let another reason to dread the Christmas season overtake you. I want to show you something. I need to set it up for you. I'll show it to you. I am enamored with a new preacher in town. He's not new, but he's new to me in many ways. I hadn't watched him preach, and I'm just enjoying him. His name is Bobby Shula, and he does the Hour of Power. He is Robert Shula's great-grandson. And I love him. He has his wife there. He's got his kids there. It's a family kind of church, and I like he's got good sermons that I like to hear. And at every one of his services, he does something that I think will help you today. I've thought about bringing it here before, and this may not be the last time you'll see it. It's there, a confession of faith. I want you to read with me on what's on the screen. I am not what I do. Say it out loud. I am not what I do. I am not what I have. I am not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. It makes you feel good just to say that. It makes me feel good every week when I watch it. They do it. And it just makes me feel good. I like the part in here where it says, I don't have to worry and I don't have to hurry. I tend to do that all the time. I tend to worry more than I should, and I tend to be in a hurry to do something that's just not worth hurrying about. I can trust my friend Jesus and tell the world of his love. That's who we are. You can make Christmas a refuge this year. Purpose to serve God, no matter what the election results. It might happen before Christmas. You might hear it. Don't let it rob you. Place your faith in the Lord. Purpose to serve God, no matter what the COVID vaccine does or doesn't do. This is a new technology. It's never been tried before. They've theorized about it. They've done it to create this vaccine. I'm not sure I want to take revision one of this. I might wish for revision two. I don't know. But don't place your hopes on COVID vaccine. Put your hope in the great vaccine, as Jesus himself. He's the one who heals us and watches over us. Purpose to serve God no matter what the fake news tells you in the days ahead. Don't let this maybe last Christmas you'll ever have. You don't know that. I've stood in this church right here with two people on a Sunday who didn't make it through the next week. People you would have never dreamed in 100 years would have died. They had great plans for the week, didn't make it, died unexpectedly. You don't know. The Lord may come back, may get raptured out of here this week.
So.
This may be it. You know, all the signs of the end time are seeming to be unfolding. That's my theological approach to the end times. I don't know, but it looks like it to me. May not make it till next week. Why waste a good Christmas season? Just try to have the best Christmas season we can this year. We make the choice. It's your choice. It's between your ears to make the choice that I will have the best Christmas I've ever had this year, because it just might be the last one I have on earth. It'll change the way you think. It'll change what you believe. And it'll change the way you act. I promise you will. That's what it's all about. God willing, next week we're going to talk about Christmas is believing in the midst of times like these. That'll be next week's sermon. I saw a video that I might show to you next week. It's kind of long. It's about 18 minutes long. That means I might have to cut your music out or my sermon. One of the two. We're going to have to... We might have to make some adjustments. I have made up my mind. If I don't show it next week, I'll show it to you maybe Wednesday. That would be good. At the prayer meeting. We have plenty of time on Wednesday to see it. But it's a good, good, good video about the end times. So be prepared for that to happen. All right. So with that said, let's all stand. Are you ready to have a great Christmas season?
Yes.
I am. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we love you. We thank you. Thank you for the Christ child. Thank you for the hope that beats within us. We trust you, Lord. Father, surprise us with joy. Just surprise us with joy. Let our worry machine break so we can't worry anymore and it won't be anybody to fix it. And let us concentrate on you. Let us emphasize you. Let us abandon this earthly world and let us arrange to worship you this year. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Everybody shout it. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for watching. Hallelujah.